Now, the DA in Gauteng, the DA's Shadow Health Minister, Jack Bloem, last week when he briefed the media, stated that more than 50 psychiatric patients who were moved from Life Isidimeni live in terrible conditions that could lead to another tragedy. Bloem said Life Isidimeni patients who were allocated to Weskoppie's hospital in Tshwane were living in compromised infrastructure that posed a danger to their lives. Bloem said that this was revealed by the Gauteng Health MEC Gwen Ramakgopa in a written reply to his questions in the legislature. Now we're going to be discussing the issue. Both of them now join me on the line. Let me first say a good evening, of course, to let's start with ladies first. Dr. Ramakgopa, the MEC for Health, thank you so much and welcome to Talk at Nine.
Good evening, Karima, and good evening to listeners and also a colleague across as well.
Okay, Mr. Jack Bloem, the DA Shadow MEC for Health in Gauteng. Good evening, sir. Welcome to Talk at Nine.
Good evening. Nice to be with you. And greetings to the MEC for Health, Dr. Ramakgopa.
Now, both of you are, of course, familiar with the situation. Mr. Bloem, you have said that the admission of the terrible conditions that you believe could lead to another tragedy was, in fact, highlighted by the MEC's reply. Just take us through how this matter came up, and then, of course, I'd like to get comment and reaction from the MEC herself.
Yes, it was actually part of a broader reply, in fact, a 22-page, very comprehensive reply to questions I asked about facilities for mentally ill patients in Gauteng. And there was a section in the reply on Weskoppie's hospital. In fact, there were 4.5 pages about Weskoppie's hospital, how bad the infrastructure was there. And I was struck by a section there. There's four wards where it was said that former Isidimeni patients had been moved. And these four wards, it said, were, you know, very urgently renovated. And that, according to the official reply, not in good condition at all. Sewerage was wrong. There were other things that were wrong. I'm not sure how many patients there are in every ward, but I imagine it's at least 15 to 20, which is why I think it's something like more than 50 patients living in admittedly bad wards in the Weskoppie's hospital. Now, it was part of a broader reply, and I must say I was quite horrified by Weskoppie's hospital, which seems to have a number of buildings that are not in good repair at all. So at some stage, I think I'd like to visit Weskoppie's and see exactly how bad it is that these former Isidimeni patients are. But from their official reply, these wards are not in good condition at all.
Well, Dr. Ramakgopa, good condition, not a good condition is one thing. On a scale of the tragedy of Life Isidimeni, do you think that is an exaggeration?
Karima, if any member of the society raises alarm, we take it seriously. At least I do take it seriously, and I go to the bottom of it. And indeed, we from time to time respond to the legislature questions, and we did indicate that Weskoppie's is a very old institution, actually over 100 years old. Mm. And within the premises, it's got a number of buildings that are due for upgrades. Actually, there are plans to build a new hospital alongside. But the Weskoppie's remains one of our best practice institutions in terms of mental health. And it remains one of the national assets in terms of, housing very ill patients, some of them are stage patients. So when the Life Isidimeni problem occurred, there were wards that were renovated already for use by Weskoppie's. And some of these wards were utilized to house these patients. Like, for instance, Ward 12, which has about 48 patients as such. And there are other wards, for instance, Ward 35, 62, and 66, who I went to visit today because Actually, last week when Mr. Bloom released the alarm to the public, we took it seriously and we sent a team, a high-level team, to go and investigate. They investigated, they wrote the report, but I also went there myself today and I did not come across the situation that places patients' lives at risk at all. Yes, there is a need to the whole plumbing. It's old infrastructure of the hospital needs to be redone, and already there's work alongside that. And I did say that there are plans to build a new hospital.
What are the timelines, MEC, for this new hospital? Because we saw the moving of patients the last time to facilities that were not equipped for them. And so it's not as if you don't know that these people need to be placed in facilities that meet certain safety and health standards, more so because they are a lot more fragile than other patients. So what are the timelines for the new hospital?
Karima, the lives of these patients are not at all at risk. Actually, they are at Vescopis where there is a high concentration of specialists. And that is why we didn't move them. Mm-hmm. We didn't prioritize moving them because they are under the care of multidisciplinary teams. And there are also facilities for recreation and all that. We started with those patients that were in NGOs that were unsafe and where there was no continuous medical care, which we had to intervene on. So on that front, I must say that, but also to make sure that indeed there's an independent report, I've asked the chair of the newly established Mental Health Review Board to also go and do an independent assessment. Mm. But the key issue is that eventually we need to move the patients because that is a very highly specialized facility for very sick patients. And the mental health patients from who we refer to as involuntary and assisted patients would need to go into a facility that is not as acute as that one. But we are not going to rush. So for now, there are no plans underway to move them at all. And I'm satisfied that they have adequate medical care. And that their well-being has been prioritized as well.
Now, Mr. Bloom, it's the MEC is saying that she believes that they are not at risk at all. Does that satisfy you?
Well, let me say, firstly, I'm very pleased that the MEC made the visit to these wards, and I'm very pleased to hear that their lives are not at risk, but that there are significant infrastructure challenges there. And I think it's positive that the MEC went to see for herself. It seems that there's quite a number of former Sedimeni patients there. As she said, at least 48 in the one ward, and there's four wards. So I think it's good that she saw for herself. But I must say that, you know, unfortunately, when the provincial government announces plans to build new hospitals, it unfortunately takes a very long time. We saw in the case of two hospitals, the one at Jabalani and the Nunatelspruit Hospital, it took 8 years. You know, it should never have taken so long, and it was done at sort of double or even triple the budget. So I do hope that the new 300-bed hospital that's planned for Vescopis, you know, actually does take place in the reasonably near future. I think it's quite clear that Vescopis has significantly degraded infrastructure that could really be a problem for patients. But, you know, for the mentally ill, I think it's very important that they have a good and safe environment. And that everything is done to ensure that, you know, they get the best treatment possible.
It's just gone 18 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is, of course, Talk at 9 every Sunday evening with me, Karima Brown. I'm with you until 12 midnight. I'm in conversation with the Gauteng Health MEC, Dr. Gwen Ramokgopa, and, of course, the Shadow MEC for Health from the Democratic Alliance, Mr. Jack Bloom. And we are talking about the situation and the quality of care for psychiatric and mentally ill patients. We specifically looking at the situation at one of the institutions institutions, the Weskopies Psychiatric Hospital. Now, MEC, I get the fact that, you know, you've established the facts for yourself. You are confident that it's the best situation to keep these people at Weskopies, despite some of the infrastructure challenges because of the other pluses that you've outlined. How confident are you, Minister, MEC, that one, your hospital, your planned hospital, is going to come in on time and on budget?
Karima, unfortunately, I cannot put my neck on the block.
Because, why not?
We have identified some of the projects for public-private partnership, and with the economy having declined, the budgets the equitable share, for instance, to the province from which we get some funding for infrastructure, and also funding that we get from national on health infrastructure, has not kept up with inflation. So what we must do in the interim is to make sure that the statutory maintenance takes place, and that we give our patients the best care available, and also that we keep these facilities safe as well for our health workers. So that is really my priority for now. And once we are ready with the building of the hospital, we will announce, and we will also monitor that it takes the time that it has been set to take.
Now, Mr. Bloom, you've kept a beady eye on government expenditure, wasteful expenditure, and also just procurement processes. It's not as if the Gauteng government, particularly its health department, has been outside of controversy, particularly as it pertains to procurement and upkeep of hospitals, whether it is from inflated prices for boilers to you know, tenders and so on. Do you accept the valid points that the MEC raised around questions of inflation, or do you think that we need a much more detailed assessment of the initial costs, and then two, you know, what the potential cost drivers beyond inflation could potentially be that perhaps might not bring these new infrastructure plans in on budget?
Thank you, Karima. I think the important point to notice is that the Gauteng Health Department can't even spend the money that it's budgeted for capital spending. I mean, we've had instances where they've told the National Treasury, you know, don't give us money because we haven't got plans to spend it. And part of the problem in Gauteng is that capital spending is done by a separate department, the Department of Infrastructure Development. And to my mind, that's a dysfunctional department. It's responsible for very many delays. If I could give you two examples, there's psychiatric wards at the Charles Mckenna Johannesburg Hospital that are years overdue. They're now on their third contractor because the two previous contractors didn't manage to finish the job. And in fact, the psychiatric wards at Hella Joseph Hospital are also delayed because of incompetent contractors. So I think there's a real problem in capital spending by the Gauteng Health Department and the Department of Infrastructure Development. And in fact, if they got their act together, I think they would get more money from the National Treasury. But the point has been made that they're only requesting money when they've got proper plans for it. So, you know, this is the problem with announcing that you're going to build a 300-bed hospital. The planning takes time, coordination, and then you must get a decent contractor to do it. So I think that if there were proper planning done, you could get money from the National Treasury, and you could address many of the infrastructure challenges, not just at Weskopies. I've mentioned to you two major hospitals where they haven't been able to upgrade the psychiatric wards. And I was also concerned from the reply I got about Tara Hospital. Significant problems there as well. There's one ward where, you know, according to the reply I got, a ceiling is about to fall down. So I think that on the issue of capital spending, the Department of Infrastructure Development really has to drastically improve its efficiency, coordinate properly with the Gauteng Health Department, and then I think they could get the necessary funds from National Treasury.
Now, of course, the MEC for Infrastructure is Mr. Jacob Mamabolo. We didn't get him onto the program, but I'm sure to put these issues to him. He's very easily accessible and has spoken to us about taking action against poor contractors. But let me take the matter up with you, MEC, for health. When last did you sit with your counterpart in infrastructure, and did you speak to him about some of the problems, the perennial problems that occur around contractors, the question of proper procurement systems, and that these bureaucratic issues and also potential malfeasance doesn't delay your objectives in terms of delivering quality healthcare?
Karima, let me acknowledge that the two projects that Mr. Jack Bloom referred to, we did respond to him, the Charlotte McClure and the Helen Joseph ward, that they were delayed because there had to be changes in the contractors that were employed.
Why was the changes required, MEC?
My understanding is that these changes were required because of the contractor not meeting their obligations. So whether it's contractor incompetence, whether the contractor, for one reason or the other, couldn't meet the timelines.
I just want to get into the detail. Now, MEC, yes. just a minute. If we're saying that the contractors had to be changed, are you satisfied, one, that the contractors who didn't do the job are going to be held accountable? Are you satisfied, for example, that the sums of money that have been paid out, that you actually match that with the work that has been done? Have you gotten a report from Mr. Mamabolo on that? And the reason why I'm asking is because it might sound like red tape, but it's actually quite integral to the promise to deliver quality infrastructure. And of course, we talk about cooperative governance. So yes, another MEC is responsible, but because it impacts on your deliverables, presumably you are up to speed with what the blockages are and, more importantly, what actions are taken to stop it.
I agree fully with you. Immediately on assuming responsibility, one of the areas that I did was to engage with MEC for DID and look at the service level agreement that was signed. We improved it, we tightened it, and we also made it clear that where there is no performance, the Department of Health has a prerogative to look at the alternative ways of delivering that. Initially, it was a bit of difficult, especially from officials of the DID, but finally we agreed with the MEC. I have since met him no less than four times, and we will be meeting again this coming week, and we'll be announcing a strategic approach for maintenance in the province. But also to say that in terms of the maintenance budget, we have overspent actually last year, in the last financial year. So the maintenance budget is very tight. It is for capital projects where you would have these contractor problems, where maybe some of the funds are not necessarily utilized for that particular year. They are delayed. But we have put measures in place to hold officials accountable and to reduce red tape. But also I agree that the contractors who do not provide quality on time must be blacklisted. We must know who they are, and we must not use them again. And we must also make sure that we hold them accountable. So there I agree fully, because we can't afford these delays as the Department of Health. We've got huge backlogs. The demand is increasing. We see more than 23 million patients on an annual basis, and the demand is increasing. So we can't afford these delays. And
MEC,
the service level agreement that is there in place helps us to monitor. We've done our quarterly review, and as I've indicated during the course of this coming week, we will be announcing a major strategic approach together with MEC Mamabolo to fast track, especially maintenance.
Obviously, we will get the MEC on, particularly after that announcement. But just quickly, a listener just sent me an SMS saying, I need to check with you if you are aware of untrained staff working in the clinics and that it is apparently a real problem. Is this something that you have come across, MEC? And more importantly, what are you doing about it if it does exist?
I would like to get the details, which clinic. What we have, it's the nursing staff. Some of the clinics, we have managed to recruit doctors. Mm-hmm. And all clinics are supported by specialists, the district specialist team. And then we also have a ward-based outreach teams who are really community health workers working with one of the primary health care nurses to do outreach teams. And the community health workers also undergo training to understand what they need to do, to refer, and to do also health education. So I would really be interested to know which clinic it is so that we can get to the bottom of it.
Absolutely. We will get our producers to get in touch with you, MEC. A final word to you, Mr. Bloom. We're just coming up for past. The MEC has indicated the kind of service level agreements and, of course, a new, more integrated approach. Does that satisfy you? Does it go to addressing the heart of the matter in terms of, the line that needs to be held in terms of bringing these projects in on time and on budget and in an accountable way?
Well, I'm pleased to hear, this should have happened a long time ago, because we've had many projects that have been delayed and gone way over budget. So, I hope it works, because we really do need to get these capital projects off the ground. We need to get psychiatric wards renovated at both the Sharpton Clarke Johannesburg Hospital and Helen Joseph. I think those are very urgent, in fact. And this new hospital at Westcop, I hope that real progress can be made in it, and that the problems, the historic problems between DRD and the health department, are ironed out, and hopefully they get decent contractors who complete the job on time and within budget.
All right, that's where we will have to leave it. We say thank you very much, of course, to the Gauteng Health MEC, Dr. Gwen Ramakgopa, and also her counterpart in the Democratic Alliance Shadow MEC for Health in Gauteng, Mr. Jack Bloom.